This morning's scripture reading is taken from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 13. If I speak in the tongue of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away all my possessions, and if I hand over my body so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends, but as for prophecies, they will come to an end. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will come to an end. For we know only in part, and we prophesy only in part. But when the complete comes, the partial will come to an end. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became an adult, I put an end to childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then we will see face to face. Now I know only in part, then I will know fully, even as I have been fully known. And now faith, hope, and love abide. These three, and the greatest of these is love.
I learned early on in college that the title of the class meant a lot less than who was teaching it. A class might sound like the most uninteresting topic in the world, but in the hands of the right teacher, it was amazing. So each semester, when it came time to sign up for classes, I would ignore the course listings and just look at the professors' names. Anything Dr. Yarkin was teaching, I was in. Same for Dr. Beloine. Now, Dr. Beloine was tough. He pushed us. But I kept signing up for whatever he was teaching because there was something about him. His classes were always insightful and interesting. He loved the Bible. It was inside of him. It was in the way he lived, and he taught us to love it too. But it wasn't just the subject matter. It was more than that. It wasn't just about what he knew up here. It was about who he was in here. You see, no matter how tough he was, you always knew that he really, genuinely cared about you. Before I went off to teach in the Peace Corps, Dr. Beloine gave me the best teaching advice I've ever gotten. Kids aren't dumb, he said. They know whether or not you really care about them. You can be strict and tough, and if you genuinely love them, they'll know it. Likewise, he said, you can be lax and say all the right things, but if you don't actually care about them, they'll know that too. You see, at the end of the day, it wasn't a matter of how. It wasn't a matter of saying the right words or doing everything just right. At the end of the day, it was a question of who. Who we are on the inside. A question of what's in our hearts. If I speak in the tongues of mortals and of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have a faith that can move mountains, but don't have love, I'm nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor, give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but don't have love, I gain nothing. Paul's speaking to the Corinthian church. He knows them well. When he talks about speaking in tongues and gifts of knowledge that fathom the deep mysteries of the universe, he's keying in on some of the things that they are most proud of. Over the past 2 weeks, we've read of his praise for some of those very same gifts and others. But there's something missing. For all of their pride, the Corinthians are missing out on the key ingredient: love. And without that, they've got nothing. You see, these gifts that are supposed to build up, that are supposed to make the church, these gifts have been tearing the church apart. What might he say to us? If I sing with a voice that outshines the very angels, but have not love, I'm but a siren in the wind. If I preach with words that move men and women to tears, but have not love, I'm just a talking doll. If I give thousands to charity, march in protest of injustice, but have not love, I gain nothing. Paul's challenge is an anvil upon which our self-righteousness is shattered if we take him seriously. We want to know how we are supposed to live, what we are supposed to say, but Paul takes it deeper. It's no longer just a question of how, but of who we are supposed to be. It's about what's inside of us, what's in our hearts, and about what comes out of that place. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It is not puffed up. It is not rude. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Love always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. This is what love looks like. And Paul is pushing the Corinthians. You see, this passage comes in chapter 13. And all these things that Paul says love is, that Paul says love is not, are echoes back to earlier chapters in the letter. As Richard Hayes notes, love does not envy. But back in chapter 3, Paul used the very same word describing the envy and quarreling in the church. Love is not puffed up. But in chapters 4, 5, and 8, Paul used that very word to describe how the Corinthians' own pride in their wisdom and knowledge had puffed them up. Love is not self-seeking. Self-seeking is the same word Paul used to describe the Corinthians in chapter 10 in their fight over food that's been sacrificed to idols. One writer put it like this: Paul is saying, love does not envy, but the Corinthians do. Love does not boast, but the Corinthians do. See, the Corinthian church was divided. They were so talented. They had so much to offer, and yet they were split on issues of money, split over issues of worship, fighting even over the different gifts that they had received from the Spirit. As Richard Hayes notes, everything about their behavior contradicts the true nature of love. The church, the community of faith, the body of Christ was supposed to look different from the world around them. They were supposed to stand out, but instead they found themselves falling into the same patterns, the same divisions. It's so easy to fall into the same trap today. We're the church. We're the body of Christ. We're supposed to look different. That doesn't mean we're always supposed to agree, but precisely in those moments of conflict, we're supposed to handle it differently. We shouldn't look like the world around us, settling disputes with force and violence. We shouldn't look like the world around us, descending into partisan camps, Republicans and Democrats, conservatives and liberals, evangelicals and progressives. May we not fall into the same traps, the same silos. Instead, Paul shows us a way forward. He calls us to be a people who don't conform to the patterns of this world, but instead people who show the world what transformation looks like. We are called to be a people of love. We usually read this passage at weddings. And that's right and good. But it means we usually only think about this list, about what it means to love with people that we already, well, love. But Paul is pushing us beyond that. Paul is giving this list of what love looks like to a group of people who are in conflict. This isn't just what it looks like to love our partners. Paul is pushing us to love our enemies like this. He doesn't promise that they'll love us back, never says they'll be patient or kind to us, just tells us to love them and tells us what it looks like. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love doesn't envy. It's not puffed up. Love isn't rude. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. Love keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. We're supposed to look different, and people will notice. People aren't dumb. They know whether or not you really care about them. Words like welcome and hospitality, care for the poor and marginalized, are just words without love. It's one of the things about this church that makes me so proud. This is a church that at our best lives into our love. This is a church that at the community meal last Thursday showed up. 39 of you, members and friends of Stone Church, of all ages, children, youth, college students, seniors, you showed up and worked hard making and serving a delicious meal. But you did more than that. I watched you share the meal with other members of the community, serving with love as Pam is teaching us from both sides of the table. Serving with real love, not as paternalistic benefactors, but as brothers and sisters going through life together. People aren't dumb. They can tell the difference. This is a church that writes letters and visits prisoners week in and week out, that shows real love to people who society has shut away. This is a church that opens our doors, that hosts Cub Scouts and Big Brothers, Big Sisters and Habitat for Humanity. This is a church that invited college students into our homes alongside our families gathered to share Easter dinner last year. I hope you'll do it again this year. I hope maybe you won't wait until Easter. This is a church that sends teams to Guatemala, that makes prayer shawls and really prays. This is a church that hosts an alternative Christmas gifts bazaar to remind us what the season of giving is really about. This is a church that cares for brothers and sisters who are hurting. I've watched you. I've seen you this week offering meals and sending cards, sharing sympathy and prayer with brothers and sisters who are hurting. This is a church that visits shut-ins, that goes and gets folks so they can be part of the monthly meal. I've seen you visiting this week your brothers and sisters in hospitals and in nursing homes. So let's continue to earn a reputation. Let's earn a reputation. Let's be a church that loves each other and anyone and everyone who walks through those doors. Let us be a people of love, because that's how they'll know. That, says Paul, is the greatest gift, the true mark of a follower of Christ. Why is this love so important? Because it's the only currency that lasts. When all is said and done, when everything else has passed away, only love remains. Love never fails. Where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there's knowledge, it will pass away. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And so these three remain: faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Faith will cease. For faith is the assurance of things not seen, and in that day our faith shall be sight. Hope, too, will pass away, for we hope for things to come, but in that day we embrace eternity with the fullness of God present with us forever. In the end, only love remains. When all the stuff in our lives has passed away, when even the grudges and hurts have evaporated into the mists of time, when all our relationships with others and with God are finally made whole, then will we know the full truth of the declaration that God is love. Amen.